The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So hello, this is the is this on?
Yes.
It's the XFM Breakfast podcast. Hello, welcome to it. And the ideal accompaniment we find to maybe listen in the bath. That's quite nice, isn't it? Maybe listen in the bath, maybe listen while you're doing toilet. Both of these things we find helps you relax.
Although if you're on the toilet for that long, for the whole length of the podcast, you should maybe go and see a doctor.
Yeah, medical attention is very important. That's absolutely true. I think, in many ways, this program acts as a laxative, I think, doesn't it? And that's how we like to think.
Yeah.
What's Alex is our intern. What's on? Can we look forward to in the podcast this week, Alex?
We've got guests, BDI and Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, but what can we look forward to is what I was suggesting.
I've just seen his list. It's just had BDI and Dominic Cooper.
Oh, he's got nowhere to go.
Maybe you could go to the toilet for the duration of this podcast.
Yeah,
I haven't put a fourth bullet point.
You carry on. I'm just going to go to the toilet while you're thinking.
John, that's down again, hasn't he, really?
It's just gone 25 past six. Which means it's time for Matt to lift his show business smeared face up from the wreckage of the Chaff News Desk. This is where we bring you, of course, in the 6 to 7 hour, the showbiz tossip, all of the stories that just aren't really news, really, just words in an order that makes you annoyed when you hear them. It's not news.
No,
we get it out of the way here so it doesn't bother anyone else for the rest of the day. What's in it today?
Words like this. Jennifer Aniston has had a chicken coop built on her $21 million Bel Air estate.
Right, that sounds like the most complicated euphemism I've ever heard.
The clucky birds will be... will be living in the lap of luxury by the looks of the huge hen pen located behind the guest house.
Right, well, this is what she's done, this, details. Of course, for, because Jennifer Aniston famously, I think I'm right in saying this, just eats live chickens, doesn't she? Like, remember in V, the space alien invasion series, when Diana, the leader of the alien race, would eat mice? Well, Jennifer Aniston actually sustains herself with live chickens.
Whole
feathers,
chickens.
Bones,
she
guts.
Doesn't even pluck them.
Doesn't pluck them.
Doesn't even cover them in some kind of hot sauce. No.
Absolutely not. No. She literally just picks them up out of the pen, alive, holds them above her face, which she tilts upwards, and then her jaw elongates.
Oh.
Where the bones detach themselves in the lower part of her jaw.
Yeah.
And she just drops the chicken in, and then...
Like a snake.
A bit like a snake,
it going down her neck.
You see it's stuff. I've seen these in, like, Heat or something. You know those embarrassing photographs you get of celebrities where they circle?
They go, ooh, chicken neck. Well,
yeah, they do the chicken neck.
Actual chicken.
Aniston. There's one of her where they've circled it. It's the actual shape of a live chicken.
I mean,
it could just be a big Adam's apple, but I don't think so.
It's clearly a beak.
I remember they based a Friends episode around this, didn't they? You know, the one where Rachel eats the chicken.
The live chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah, and brackets, because she's a lizard from space.
Yeah, that was, I remember that, it was like a bonus edition, wasn't it?
Well, it was on DVD, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no mention of this in the story.
Well, they've missed the big story.
She just says, she's quoted as saying, they're very social animals, chickens, and they like it when you visit them with a cup of coffee.
Social is the, that's a mistranslation from the alien. Social, from where she comes from, is tasty. They're very tasty animals when they're alive.
She feeds them pasta, apparently, as well.
Fattens them up, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's why.
Pasta.
Fattens them up.
But yeah,
it's It's a natural way of things on her planet. Pasta feeds chickens. Live feathered chickens feed lizard Aniston.
Yeah,
it's a natural order of things.
Then it's like their own sort of natural pasta and chicken dish, isn't it? Created yourself if you feed them pasta.
Exactly.
Chicken on the outside, the pasta on the inside. Yeah, it's just
the raw guts of chicken.
Sort of stuffed pasta.
To sustain the life of Aniston.
Yeah. The other big story this morning is Harry Styles. We know him. He's the only one anyone knows from One Direction.
Oh, yeah. Apart from you apart now, from because doesn't your niece know?
My niece knows all the other ones. He has had a new tattoo. Big news.
This is huge. Dave's very excited now. Look at him.
Where is it and what does it say, Mark?
Well, some of the papers are saying it's on his feet. They're actually on his ankles.
Right.
I can see an image now.
Oh.
On one foot he has Never Gonna and on the other he has Dance Again. It's a lyric from Careless Whisper.
No one knows why. Is it? Which one did Harry Styles go out with? What famous person did he go out with?
All of them, yeah. Everyone.
Is it one of them?
Jimmy and Tailforth.
Jimmy and Tailforth. Great, okay. Well, that's true. I think I read that actually again in Heat magazine, because didn't Gillian Tailforth, like in the film Misery, trap him and hobble him? I think that's why, isn't
right,
it? Because like, she was obsessed.
So this is like a sort of terrible.
I think she
a reference
a,
to that.
In a lay-by or something, I can't
so
remember.
So he literally is never going to dance again.
He's literally never going to dance again. And that's why he's had it tattooed. His feet are now just floppy from the ankles down.
That's amazing.
That's right. All the show business facts for you there. The live chicken eating Aniston and the Crippled for Life by Gillian Tailforth Harry Styles. It's all here.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
Yes.
XFM.
And so we welcome back the feature that we all love, where we invite you to see if you can identify the location of Miles Hunt out of Off of the Wonder Stuff. We invite you very much to go on a Miles Hunt for Miles Hunt. Can identify his location. There are prizes afoot. We don't know where he is. We've absolutely no idea. All we actually know is that he's this morning.
Miles away.
Tickets to Bill Bailey could be yours. Bill Bailey live. If you can work out where he is. Morning, Mo.
Morning, John.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
Good. Bill Bailey at the Hammersmith Apollo this coming Monday, up for grabs, as a radio git might say. If they can correctly identify your location this morning, Milo, that's what all to play for this morning. And speaking of gigs, we haven't spoken for a couple of weeks. I know, but you've been a busy rock star, haven't you, Milo?
Well, doing our bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Eric and I had a bunch of acoustic gigs, and then the last two gigs we did with the band were in support to the mighty Public Image Limited.
Wow, how did that go?
Do you know what? I was looking forward to those gigs for weeks in a way that I wouldn't normally look forward to gigs, and it just didn't disappoint. Pill are the awesome live band.
Yeah.
And the audiences were great, and the old dream came true of meeting John Lydon, who's been my hero since I was a kid, and that all went swimmingly.
That's good, because I spoke to you when I spoke to you backstage at one of your gigs a while ago, before when you just found out this was going to happen, and we had that conversation about meeting your heroes and how that goes. So I was worried for you, if I'm honest, because, you know, John Lydon's a tricky beast at the best of times.
Of course. Well, you know what, Erica and I were talking about this yesterday, and I said, you know, there is that line of never meet your heroes. Well, I think I've pretty much met everyone from a band, you know, that I've looked up to over the years, and none of it has gone wrong. It's all been brilliant. So I've chosen my heroes very well.
You really have. So how was John Lydon? What was he, you know, what, did you bond over some butter or something that you carry around with him now, or?
No, but oddly, he did volunteer the butter thing and joked about it. It was right as he came off stage. So it was absolutely extraordinary to watch the energy that he still has when he comes off stage.
Yeah.
And how he doesn't really know what to do with it. And, you know, and he's verbalising all this. I've still got so much energy! You know. It was incredible. Wow. It really, really was, yeah.
They should do a remake of Last Tango in Paris with him in it. That'd be amazing. Let's find out where you are this morning, though. Milo, let's get on to business, of course.
Okay.
So, when you're ready, here we go.
All righty. Well, I am indeed miles on, out of and off of the Wonder Stuff, and this morning you'll find me in a medium-sized town of about 2,500 people. Cars are operated by people's feet instead of engines. I'd really like to meet the guy whose feet sound like that little bongo drum. That's great. Cars are driven by people's feet instead of the engines, and they drive to the bowling alley, John.
Oh, yeah.
And pool halls like Boulder Downs. Plus, there are several dining options, including a drive-in restaurant serving brontosaurus ribs of all things. And local industries include slate rock, gravel quarry, where sauropods are used as cranes. And it's handy to slide down their tails at knocking off time. Why can't life just have all those sound effects all the time?
That'd be good.
The only question is, of course, John, where am I?
Indeed.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
You find us in the midst of miles away. From a series of clues, could you identify the location of Miles Hunter out of the Wonder Stuff? Thank you for all your correct answers, picked entirely at random. It's Teacher Ellie. Hello, Teacher Ellie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, very well.
Good. You sound a little bit croaky there at the beginning of that.
I've got a sore throat. It's like nearing the 6 weeks holiday throat.
So you say you're very well, but you're just being polite, weren't you, really, about that? Because you've actually got good. The only question, Ellie, is... where, for those Bill Bailey tickets, Hammersmith Apollo on Monday, where was Milo this morning? Where was he?
I'd say Bedrock.
Let's find out.
This week, John, I was in Bedrock, home of the Flintstones. That's Bedrock, home of the Flintstones.
Congratulations, Ellie. You will be going to see Bill Bailey.
Brilliant.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Good morning, then, XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes, and, God, Lord above, very pleased to be joined in the studio by a selection of BDI, it's fair to say. Liam, Gem and Andy, welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, I wonder if you settle an argument for me, first of all. If I was to say to you, what's the symbol of Manchester that appears on the coat of arms, have you any idea? Because we didn't know this, and I just wonder, obviously, being from the Fair City, whether you know what the symbol of Manchester is.
Well, I'm from there, these guys.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know.
You don't know?
Is it a rose?
Do you know? It's a ship. It's not... you think, logically, it's a bee. The bee. The humble honey bee.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Is the symbol of Manchester.
I would have never got...
And I wondered whether there was a link.
Hence the album title.
Well, there you go.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah, should have called it Ship.
Never have got that.
But we found this out, because I don't really know Bez from the Happy Mondays.
Who?
Bez from the Happy Mondays, yeah. He is breeding bees in Wales, and he's bringing them to Manchester. He wants a colony of bees in Wales. Seriously, this was in the news.
Is this right? Jules Holland?
And he seriously, because he thinks that obviously the honeybees are very important, but he genuinely wants to bring them to Manchester as a colony. And I thought that was a good way into the animal stuff as well.
Oh, there's no bees in Manchester?
No bees in Manchester, that
because I've been stung by
so Bez is not to win with that.
What do you mean there's no bees in Manchester?
That's what Bez says.
Well, once they sting you, they die, don't they? They all stung Liam and then died.
That's right.
Stang,
good past tense.
Whoa.
We like that. Yeah, so you could be responsible for the lack of bees in Manchester in a personal
perspective. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
You can breed bees on a roof. You don't need a big farm. You can just do it on a roof.
That's what he's doing in Manchester, on the Printworks.
Yeah.
That's what he says, yeah. He's bringing them from his farm.
Can be done.
I think he's breeding a bee army, personally.
I've considered it myself sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a big thing. Loads of people are doing this because it's
like
saving the planet and the outfit. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Come on. Right. See that he's f***ing busy anyway, Bezzy.
He's a busy bee.
Bezzy's busy.
let's talk a bit about... Well, I want to mention animals, actually, Liam. I need to ask you about this. What's this thing a bit ago about you riding a dog? What was that?
Well,
Did that happen?
I don't know, mate.
He asked for a bee, but there weren't any bees available.
Apparently it did. I haven't got a car licence. I haven't got a motorbike licence.
Yeah.
Dog it is.
You don't even need a dog licence anymore. I think that's a good
one. No, I don't need a dog licence. No, I don't remember, but I was in the pub and I might have been intoxicated.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I won't see photo evidence. But
yeah.
Could have been anything.
It could have been anything. Any animal. Any passing animal would have done. Okay. Well, it's all right. Staying with the animal theme, I'm going to go into doves now.
I'm going to dove.
Yeah, well, who among us can
save that for the
laughter show?
My way out of here.
Yeah. What is the mind of a dove was the thing you were talking about the other day. So you entered the mind of a dove.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about that. What?
Well, I can't remember now.
You can't remember that either?
No.
But why a dove? Why a dove? That's the interesting question. What's the...
Exactly. I don't know why.
It's pretty deep.
Apparently they've got good minds, aren't they?
Have they?
They've got deep minds.
I think it's dolphins, isn't it?
No, doves.
Well, you know more about doves? I don't know about doves.
It's like fingers, isn't it?
Are we actually on here?
Yeah. All this will be edited out. It's fine, it's fine. Okay. I'm interested in the animals. Come on, I'm an animal lover.
So,
you know.
It's an Amber, isn't it?
I want to know, yeah. Thank you, Amber. But I want to know about the animals, that was all.
No, the end of the mind of the dove, that was for, I think I said that to Danny, made in it for some socky.
Good, you mate. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Good though, isn't it?
Because it comes out very well. Because what you've done very well for the album, I think, is these stories keep hitting the press, and this is kind of legendary PR, I think. And I like the way you might just sit there thinking, "What should we make up?"
Don't make up, mate. I don't wake up in the morning to go, "Yeah, put me onto the hotline to the enemy, so I can speak."
I was
like, do an interview. Someone asks you a question, you try and give them a good answer.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm hoping for that. I was going to go try and go for an exclusive. You know, make something up for us.
Wildlife exclusive.
Yeah, I want a wildlife exclusive. Come on. We've dogs and doves. Is there anything you can give us? Come on.
Really not in a creative mood today.
No.
It's just not flowing just
not
yet.
Not flowing. Right. Let's talk about the album.
The album called Bees.
That was my link, you see. I'm a professional. So I sort of figured out. You know, the album's called Bees. It's out. It's out today. Tell me a bit about it, gentlemen.
It's a good album.
Yeah?
Yeah. We like it.
Yeah?
A bit different than the last one.
In what way?
I don't know, man. It's not so much rock, you know, it's not so much straightforward rock and roll. There's a bit of a gone through a door that we don't normally go through and we've stayed for lunch.
Nice. Is this part of the production, though?
Cause this is, yeah, I guess it's part of the production. I mean, the songs are just songs, you know what I mean? We wrote them, we can play them acoustic like we did last night without all the razzmatazz.
Tell me about Flick of the Finger, because that's one of the... I mean, I absolutely love that. As a track, and it's really different. It's really different sounding, and it's got an amazing voiceover at the end, and it ends on such an amazing
voice all the way through.
The end, the end. Yeah. No. So tell me about the track because it's really different.
Well, we had it a long time ago. Just we had the music kind of and the melody ages ago, and then we sort of went, I'll come back to that another time. And then I couldn't think of any words for it, and then Andy and Gem wrote the words for it, and then we sort of just brought it to life again.
I mean, at one point the speech was chopped up and all the way through the song.
Oh, okay.
And we were kind of like, and then, but it lost its potency.
Yeah, it is the powerful stuff, isn't it?
It's so powerful, man.
We had to...
And, relevant and whatever, man. But also, don't get hung up on that as well. If that's, you know, not where your head's at and your head's into the trumpets, that's fine, man.
BDI, thank you very much for coming in.
Nice one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
So in the news today, then you've probably heard it already, but they are unveiling new look, tougher exams for GCSEs in England. That's what's coming in, apparently. Now, this all follows the exams being graded story as well, doesn't it, Matt? They were going to be graded in numbers, not letters now. Was that the gist of it?
They're saying they're going to announce it later.
So rather than A star to G, exams will be graded 8 to 1 now, and the actual exams will be made tougher as well, as if they weren't tough enough anyway for children who aren't very good at exams. They're going to put more emphasis on the exams.
Yeah,
more rigorous content.
Yeah. I think a stressful exam is how we all like to decide who's the best and who's learned the most by how much they can remember on one day.
That's right, just simply remember it power fashion. Yeah,
that's a sensible idea.
That's right, yeah. So this is Gove's plan, of course. But we thought we'd help them out this morning because Michael Gove comes under a lot of criticism, doesn't he? I mean, you know, the teaching unions don't like him. Teachers don't like him, the head teachers don't like him, the children don't like him, his own family don't really like him, to be honest with you. So we think he needs a little bit of help this morning, and he wants to make exams tougher. And, you know, in some ways that, I think, you know, I think that's fair enough, because
They have become easier over the years. It has that's a lot of people say that. And if you look at the evidence, that is
people get A stars.
Yeah,
every year,
they are marked easier, and I think it does lead to, you know, sometimes. And let's be honest, thick people being promoted beyond their means, Matt. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. You know, it's,
yeah.
See it happening around here. I'm naming no names, but you know, I've seen it happen. And you know, and it's right. People who can't spell, people who can't, you know, the basic grasp of grammar, getting into jobs where you know, really. So I think I'm sort of, yeah, okay. Make it a little bit harder. Make it a little bit harder. And here's my way of making it harder, though. I don't think you need to make it educationally harder. I just think distraction is the key in exam halls. So, for instance, you know, you remember back to exams when you sat in the either the school gym or in the school hall, and you're on a desk on your own, weren't you? And you had it when I say turn over the paper, you can turn over the paper and start writing, that sort of thing. We used to have a man where I was at uni who used to go, exam time will be governed by this clock, and he'd point at a clock he brought in, and no other timepiece. In a sinister way. Who says timepiece, you big idiot? But he did. But
horrible feelings you're bringing back here.
I know, it's making you shiver, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And remember all that time you spent just sort of, you would look at the right exams, but then you'd be distracted in front of you by the girl in front of you who had a slightly see-through school shirt.
Right.
You remember that? Yeah.
I don't know, all looking around, everyone's writing loads of stuff down. What if I missed? Why am I not writing?
I finished this exam an hour ago.
What's going on here?
So all of that made it very difficult, but GoForce making it more difficult. So my first thought is to have all the children in there, not allowed to speak, of course, in the same sort of way, but put a live tiger in there. Just prowling the aisles. Or snakes, so you have to keep your feet off the floor, something like that. Or teachers on pogo sticks bouncing around the hall with birch twigs whipping children who aren't being diligent enough.
Yeah.
But I think there's a return to that. I think that's
a return to the workhouse.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Sort of vibe, yeah.
Yeah. That's what Gove wants. That's what Gove can have.
The youth of today, that would sort them out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No respect, is there, though, these days, Matt? That's the problem. Bring back hanging in schools is what I say, Matt.
Yeah.
Bring back hanging for the children. Yeah.
Well, I'd go a bit more high tech.
What would you do?
High tech now. So yeah, I like the idea from earlier about emoticons for the grading. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all the answers would have to be done via the short looped video sharing website Vine. So all the answers have to be 6 seconds or less.
Yeah, it's good.
You've got to cram it in there, yeah. No matter what.
It's good.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. XFM.
A bizarre incident happened during the trial in the States where Michael Jackson's family are accusing the promoter AEG Live of negligence that contributed to Jackson's death. Randy Phillips, the CEO of the company, has testified about talks had with the ghost of Jackson by his friend Brenda Ritchie, Lionel Richie's ex-wife. She claims she spoke to Jacko's spirit via a medium, and the singer confirmed that he accidentally killed himself and it wasn't Dr. Conrad Murray's fault.
Right.
The judge in LA incredibly allowed the comments to stand, even though a lot of people in the courtroom were laughing.
So what's going to happen now? This is a landmark moment, as I said earlier, right? Because it means that a United States court now has to rule on whether ghosts exist or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is genuinely what this is going to come down to. Do ghosts exist? It's going to be a jury will have to decide whether or not ghosts. Evidence will be presented. All those rubbish clips you get on the internet. Yvette Fielding will be called.
Derek Acora.
Yeah, they'll be called.
In the witness stand.
Yeah, they'll probably, the courtroom artist will have to sketch it in green night vision. Yeah. Like it'll all be.
Wow.
And Yvette Acora will come in.
It's an amazing day.
Yeah. So it's a landmark moment, Matt. Don't
it certainly is.
Your tone was a little belittling of it there, I think it's actually an enormous story.
An unbelievable development. Yeah.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Gove. They're talking to you. Michael Gove wants to make exams harder. They're going to announce... Later today, announcing measures that will make GCSEs tougher, including new grading systems in numbers rather than letters. We're asking you this morning to help Michael Gove, poor Michael Gove, help him. How would you make exams harder? 83936 at XFM on Twitter. John Bon says here. John Bon Jovi's texted the program. That's good, isn't it? I'd have Mission Impossible style lasers and hunting traps. That'll stop fat kids sneaking out for a snack. I don't think they do that. I don't think they're... They've already got measures in place to stop them doing it. Jim Booker on Twitter. I'd make exams harder by issuing children pens with no ink.
On a similar note, Kerry says everyone should have to write with those old school floppy pens. Comedy quills.
That's a good idea.
That's good. They're studying more Shakespeare. Why don't they write like Shakespeare as well?
Between each question, says the Afro Sloth on Twitter, between each question, a mini event is held, e.g. swimming through a crocodile or Michael Gove-infested lake. What? A Michael Gove-infested lake?
Oh my God.
Or simply, while you're filling in your papers, you have to watch Anne Widdecombe eat. That would be off-putting.
Gibbs on Twitter suggests there should be someone standing behind each student just going, ooh, or sucking air through their teeth going, each time they answer a question. You're not putting that, are you?
Oh, no.
Ooh, dear.
Ooh, you. They've not put that over there. Ooh. When all sat down for an exam, allow Nutty Nigel from 5B to pick names at random, and if called out, he comes over and gives you a dead arm. Neil must have been at school with Nutty Nigel. I think he's channeling something there.
A Russian roulette paintball system where invigilators walk up behind students and they either get a harmless burst of air or a bruising shot to the back of their head. Dom in Watford. Good.
And Ian Hinckley's gone just mental. Exam papers made of jelly with a can of whipped cream as a pen, John.
He has gone off.
Every 5 minutes, says Krillenshu, every 5 minutes, take away one of the chairs in the exam hall, musical chairs style. Nice. And teacher Ellie has just taken it all a bit too seriously, I think. She's just gone, well, John, as an English teacher, honestly, they're already hard. Kids do controlled assessments and exam conditions nearly every 6 weeks in year 10, and then they have three exams throughout the entire GCSE course. And then the government's exam boards already give them numbers rather than grades, so when we mark assessments, we're essentially marking blind. Make exams harder, make go sit a two-year GCSE course in my class. Then you know what it's like. Wow, okay. Calm down. But you're right, Ellie, of course, you're right. Dan in Kent, very simply, Cheryl Cole prowling about, randomly punching people in the head as she goes. Cheryl Cole, of course, lest we have forgotten, the nation's sweetheart, once punched a toilet attendant, of course, in the head, didn't she?
Yes, she was found guilty.
Found guilty in a court of law. Nation's sweetheart, Cheryl Cole, punched a toilet attendant full in the face.
We don't need no education.
We just keep telling you that in case you've forgotten. We don't want the nation to forget. We don't want the nation to forget.
We don't need no thought control.
Cheryl Cole once punched a toilet attendant in the face.
All right, John, all right. Let it go.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes. And yesterday we learned from Matt's music news that BDI, Liam Gallagher, we're going to be performing on The Voice. You know, the... I've never seen it. I know there are...
You're a lucky man.
Have you watched it?
Oh, I can't stand it.
Why'd you watch it then? Are you some sort of masochist?
I've occasionally flitted over to it.
Mm-hmm.
And caught bits of it.
Don't with my advice. Dave loves it. Dave's across it all the time, don't you, Dave? You love it.
I love to hate it.
He loves to hate it.
Yeah.
So this, what is it? There's Willoughby. She's on it, isn't she? Holly Willoughby.
Oh, yeah.
She hosts it.
She's a presenter.
She with Reggie.
Yeah. There's Tom Jones and his leather hair that he's got. Isn't he, it? Who else is it? Danny from the Champion of the World.
Yes, some guy who's in a band that have only been around for about a year.
Right.
And yet he's passed off as some kind of expert on the music industry.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Who is it?
Jessie J. Yeah. Jessie J's in it as
what's
well.
What's the J? Is it? What's her full name? What is the J? Is it Cloth? J Cloth? Jessie J Cloth?
Yeah. Just awful.
Jessie Just
I'm
Awful.
Sure. Jessie Just Awful. Isn't she great though, isn't she? She's just shaved all her hair off. And it looks really good, doesn't it, John? Yeah, it looks great. She really pulls it off, doesn't she, Dave? Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Matt, she actually did that for charity, so that's really disrespectful.
But she's kept it, though.
I don't know. Can we stop discussing Jessie J's hair?
Sorry.
We're not on heart.
Slap
What's wrong
me.
With you?
Slap me.
Uh, Right, anyway, well, BDI are going to be appearing in front of these people. There's also William, isn't he? William the judge.
He's passing on judgment on
William. And they this was announced yesterday, but they've already recorded it, the appearance, and we've got a clip of it, actually, for you. So I think this is the judges and Liam, really, isn't it? I think that's what happens.
Yeah, I think we've got the response to, you know, just after they played their track.
Oh, okay, so they've been judged.
They've
so
just played.
Right. Right, see, and so this is a clip of what happened, I think.
Come on, get on with it.
Oh, gosh, you thought it was hard to open the show, but you've made that look so easy.
Doesn't with the that's why. To be quite honest with you, we're the best band in the world. Probably the best band I've ever seen, so yeah. Right then, who's first then? Gotta be you there with that weird haircut there. How many haircuts you got there for?
Starting off the show, I didn't know the song.
I'm gonna f***ing letter f***ing someone tomorrow.
But it's okay, because now I know it.
It sounded a little too... Come on, get on with it, hurry up.
Operatic for me.
Whoopee.
I actually thought you was a female to start with.
Well, yeah, but let people think that.
I just thought it was just a little bit too proper.
Well, I'd rather you call us that than girls.
I will say you need to work on your breathing, because that's what's gonna conquer your nerves.
My ears ring pain, f***ing hearing your f***ing voice, you f***.
And trust me, crying is a normal thing.
I won't do f***ing see the UK when you get a better sound. So there.
It's Liam on The Voice.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. Yes. XFM.
XFM Breakfast then, good morning. Hello, I'm John Holmes, joined by a very smartly dressed Dominic Cooper.
I like that. Is this smart? Is it? What about this really crumpled shirt that I've just pulled from under my mattress?
I'm going to... That's
not very smart, is it?
Is that where you keep
your shirt? Yeah, I've got no room for anything.
You weird man.
I know. That's where you're meant to keep them.
Is it?
Yeah, presses them. And then you bring them in this, and then in the shower. You shower with them as well. Yeah. Because then they look like this.
You just look like a crumpled wet man.
It's the look I've been trying to achieve all my life.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Tell me about the new film that... now, this... When you read... What the hell's that?
I don't know. Looks like an Allen key.
Dominic's just picked up what looks like a sex toy off the desk. Do you sleep with that under your mattress as well? Is that what that is? What is that?
I didn't bring this in. This was here. It's part of your mechanics.
Yeah. Wow.
Not becoming
we need to take a picture of that and put it on Twitter almost immediately. Probably with Dominic holding it, I think. Yeah. We'll do that.
Always linked to an object like that.
Well, you know, I guess that's as far removed from an Edwardian artist colony in Cornwall as it's possible to get, Dominic, isn't it? But that's what the film's about.
It is.
Tell me more.
What can I say? The film, where did it come from? It came from these fantastically sort of heartbreaking diary entries of a man named Gilbert Evans, and then his son found them, actually, and knew nothing of this past life and this experience that he'd had in Cornwall in 1913, and how he fell madly in love with this girl who his friend AJ, who I play, was also in love with.
So it's called Summer in February. I forgot to say the title about it.
No, I know, I keep forgetting to as well, because I'm never quite sure how to say February.
I was going to mention that, because where are you standing on the debate of, well, is it February or February?
I love that, you should do that from now on.
February.
Yes, I think that's how it's meant to be.
No, Summer in February.
That's your real voice.
Yeah, it is. This is just a zany radio persona that I put. Actually channeled producer Dave, who, by the way, is very posh. I went to a Swiss finishing school for girls. A bit weird. Don't even ask about that.
Fantastic. That's where all should go.
Really?
No, absolutely didn't. Absolutely not.
I want to also talk to you, because The Devil's Double that you did.
Yes.
Which I love, by the way.
Thank you.
I know that's going back to that. But I'm just going to tell you this, that I'm a BAFTA judge.
Yes. Right,
and I saw that film at you, and I thought, I'm not just blowing smoke up your arse here, I thought it was brilliant, I thought you were amazing in it, and I voted for you as Best Actor in BAFTA.
Thank you very, very much.
Did you get nominated?
No.
I don't know what happened there, but you got my vote, put it that way.
That's more that important than anything else.
I thought
thank
it would
you
be.
Thank you very
I
much.
I liked your credit. And I thought that was an amazing thing to do. And how did that come about? I mean, that was such an incredible role to do. That, for those who haven't seen it, explain a little bit about
well,
it.
Well, I played Saddam Hussein's son, Uday, who was, by all accounts, a complete madman and one of the most horrible people that I've ever read about, and he forced a man
to be his body double. His father, Saddam, at the time was feeling that the family was very threatened, so insisted that his son, who he was terrified of by all accounts anyway, should have a body double.
So you just sort of
played out both roles.
Yeah.
So I was opposite myself in the film, playing two very, hopefully, very different people.
Part-time ping-pong specialist. That's what it says on your Twitter account.
You just had to write something. You have to write something. Otherwise, you don't get verified.
Tell me that's not a lie. Tell me you are a part-time ping-pong specialist. Come on. I mean, not in the sense of, like, girls in Thai bars. I don't mean that sort of thing.
I don't even know that game. I don't even know what you're referring to. What is that?
Although Dave could hold a coffee cup if you've got
Dave.
That sex toy you found from the desk. It's going to go anyway now. It might be a bit weird. Is that just a blatant...
What is ping-pong in Thai bars? Please.
Let me draw your picture, right? So there's a woman. No. Speaking of games, though, would you hang about a bit? Because I'd like to challenge you to a game of band or painting.
Excellent.
Art expert that I know you are as well.
Can I cheat?
Absolutely not. So I don't know how you'd even do that, but we'll find out.
Dominic, I don't know what the game is.
Exactly. I'm not explaining the rules
to you. There's always a way.
And let's take that as a maxim from as we go throughout our lives. Dominic Cooper, there's always a way to cheat. Stay there, and we'll play it when we come back.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
XFM Breakfast. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Holmes. Friday morning. And that means on a Friday, what we do at around this time is round up a week's worth of lazy PR. Being a radio station, as you'd imagine, we, in keeping with all media outlets, we get sent hundreds and hundreds of PR opportunities throughout the week. The interesting thing to note about 99% of them is that they're sent from PR companies and PR people who have never listened to XFM, let alone this programme. So they send us stuff that we would never, it would be no interest to you. The point is, it's about you, of course. The programme is for you. It's about what you want to hear. And they send us stuff that you just wouldn't be interested in at all. But what we do on a Friday is round up the best, or rather worst, of it, just so you can see the sort of stuff we have to deal with and filter out, really, on your behalf. And here's one that came in. This was a good one. Hey, John. Hi. Over familiarity. Like it. On Saturday, June 22. Already annoying, isn't it? Global Smurfs Day will once again be celebrated around the world, led by an amazing worldwide Smurf Ambassadors initiative. Over 40 ambassadors from 28 countries will represent Smurfs fans from around the world with a special day of events to take place in Brussels and Paris. Here it comes. The UK will be represented by Smurfs collector and mega fan Karen Bell. Karen has spent over 30 years collecting Smurfs, and her collection is estimated to be worth about £20,000. It even has its own room in her house. To book Karen and chat to her about her collection and Global Smurfs Day in general, please get in touch. Please get in touch and talk to Karen, because she's lonely and weird. No one will talk to her. Doesn't say that on there. I added that bit. I added that little bit on there. Sure, she's very lovely. I'm saying, hello, Karen. I'm sure you're lovely. But we don't want to talk to you about Smurfs.
Without that.
We don't want to talk to you about that. So thanks for that. That's good. What did you get, Matt? What did you get?
It's National Homeopathy Awareness Week, of course. It starts today. Bizarrely runs from Friday to Friday, the 14th to 21st, the traditional week format.
Yeah.
Thrown out of the window by the homeopathy guys.
Well, yeah, the thing is, that's right, isn't it? Because it's not a real week, is it? It's mostly made of water. So it doesn't even work as a week. It doesn't work.
They ask in the subject heading, homeopathy, fact or fiction?
Fiction, moving on.
Moving on. Keep calm and be happy, the ultimate feel-good album.
Oh, this is good. Yeah. Is this on brand for XFM?
Sony Music delighted to announce the release of Keep Calm and Be Happy, a playful selection of vibrant pick-me-up modern classics.
Who's on it, Matt? Is it The Foos? Is it Biffy Clyro? Bit of Oasis.
A perfect Summer's Day treat. It features a bubbly collection of lively tracks from a varied lineup, including One Direction, Calvin Harris, Little Mix, Carly Rae Jepsen.
What's that?
Britney Spears and Kelly Clarkson. It's the latest.
And they sent this to us.
It's the latest in a series of hair down and kick back sounds of the summer. The first two albums, Keep Calm and Relax and Keep Calm and Stay Cozy, sold over 350,000. Keep Calm and Stay Cozy. I want to listen to that.
Oh, I hate whoever said that.
That's on the review show this Sunday evening. That Joe Good.
Joe Good going, well, this is the ultimate feel-good album. Keep calm and be happy. Well, let's finish off with email subject line. I mean, that was a good enough one, but we have a better one. It ties into the first story. Email subject line of the week, please, Matt.
The headline act at the Smurf Festival will be a performance by Right Said Fred, who will lead a giant sing-along to I'm Too Smurfy.
Oh, just get stuffed!
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
XFM Breakfast then, and still with us, Dominic Cooper, who has now put a jacket on as though this were a formal occasion. I don't know why.
It's a formal game.
It's a formal game. It's not. Let's play the game. It's band or painting. I'm going to, because obviously you channel art in the new film, I'm going to call out the name of something. It is either the name of a band or the title of a painting.
Got it.
Just to say band or painting.
Right.
You'll be playing against Matt Dyson.
Hold on. What? It's like fingers on the buzzers.
No.
They just both shout? No. Oh, it's one. Mallet's mallet.
Yeah. Showing your age. No,
That's what he based it on.
You've stolen this game from an 80s kids show.
Yeah. The hammer I've got is just a metal claw hammer, so be careful. It's not a rubber one. Here we go.
So it's not word association?
No. It's just band or painting. You just got to have band or painting.
It's jazz. It's light jazz.
I find things go better with light jazz. Matt versus Dominic. Alphabetical order. Matt first.
That's wrong.
Matt, is this a band or is it a painting? Turquoise Marilyn. Turquoise Marilyn. Turquoise Marilyn. Band or painting?
It sounds to me like a painting.
It is. It's by Warhol.
Yes.
Good start.
I knew that.
Yeah, right.
I knew that.
Dominic, Birdsong Valentine. Birdsong Valentine. Band or painting?
That's a band.
It is a band.
I've seen them.
Good. Matt.
He knows his stuff.
Triptych.
Triptych is a band.
Oh, no, it's painted by Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon.
Come on.
No. I'd heard of it. Was it a band or was it a painting?
Yeah, that's the point of this game, Matt. Euphonics Whale. Euphonics Whale.
Oh, that's a band.
Yes, it is.
Mm. They're playing at Brixton.
Wow! He's amazing at this!
He's a great bass guitarist.
Just making it up.
Look at that. No, I'm not! Straight up! What was the quote? Always lying like.
Always cheat.
Always cheat. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Matt, the nude women of Blistex. The nude women of Blistex. Band or painting?
They're an American punk band.
They are! Yes. They are a band.
Yes!
Come on. Dominic, Balaam and the Ass. Balaam.
That's a painting.
It is a painting.
It's a stunning painting.
Do you know who it's by?
Yes.
Okay, Rembrandt. Well done, yeah. It's oil on...
Actually here. Well, no, it was here for a while. It's actually just moved.
Yeah, it's oil on panel as well, isn't it?
Oil on panel.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Very difficult.
To get the texture on there.
Yeah.
He is an actor, for God's sake. You've got to remember that. Gross Clinic.
Gross Clinic. It cannot be a painting, so it must be a band.
It's a painting. By Thomas Eakin.
Thomas Eakin. Painter.
Yeah. Eight Elvises. Eight Elvises. Band or painting?
You know them. Band.
It's painting by Warhol.
Found out.
A pony named Olga. A pony named Olga.
Painting.
That was a band. And finally, self-portrait. Band or painting?
Band.
No, painting by Rembrandt. That is a score of 4-0. I can't see what Dave's holding up. But congratulations, Dominic Cooper. You're the winner.
Yay,
band or painting
this
morning.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Something we like to do really on a fairly regular basis when life gets a little bit too much, doesn't it? And the weight of the world presses down. It's very nice just to step off out of your busy life for a moment and just relax with us here, all of us together on XFM Breakfast, just imagining dragons together. Just close your eyes, whatever you're doing. Put down whatever you're doing. If you're not if you're holding a newborn child or something, just but maybe let that child imagine dragons with you. Clutch it to your chest and just breathe in. And breathe out with your eyes closed all the while imagining dragons. If you are at work a little bit early, just rest your head on your desk now. Push your mousse aside and just imagine dragons. Breathing in. It's very relaxing. It's already relaxing, isn't it? Dave, what dragon are you imagining this morning?
I'm imagining the Sarkany dragon, John. It's a dragon that comes in human form, so I did have to make sure that was what I was imagining. It's quite a tricky one. That's this morning. It gets quite confusing.
Yeah.
Most of them are giants with multiple heads, as you know.
Oh, that would be recognisable in the crowd, though.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Yeah, it's standing out quite a lot in my imagination. Yeah. The strength is also held in their heads, and they become gradually weaker as they lose their heads.
It's a good dragon, Dave.
Yeah.
It's strong. Do you feel relaxed?
Yeah, it's worked.
I'm imagining the dragon from the Book of Revelation, of course. As we all know, there appeared another wonder in heaven. A great red dragon. It has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon those heads, of course. And the beast, which I saw, which I'm imagining now, was like unto a leopard, and his feet are as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And that dragon, of course, was cast out, wasn't he? The old serpent, because he deceiveth the world. And his angels were cast out with him. I'm imagining the dragon from the Book of Revelations. It was pretty relaxing.
Fearsome stuff.
What dragon are you imagining, Matt, this morning?
Today I've got Messalina, the figure from European legend and folklore.
Yeah.
Feminine spirits.
Yeah. Oh,
Matt. Sacred winged beast.
Matt.
Half serpent.
You're not, Matt, you've actually imagined your dragon to life, Matt. You've actually brought a dragon in.
Matt, what are you thinking?
What are you doing?
Messalina!
You can't bring a dragon
out of here! Get it out of here!
This is a violation of health and safety regulations, Matt. You brought a dragon in.
Jesus, Matt!
This is the opposite of relaxing! This is awful! Matt, what are you doing?
XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. XFM.
You're right. This is perfect for when you go to the toilet.
Yeah, it's the perfect length today, wasn't it?
Thanks for noticing.
The podcast.
It's all right.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
Smart on Sunday.
Is Sean Walsh still in the studio?
Sean, Josh Withercombe's a very good friend of yours.
Yes, yes.
And he's got a show on a Saturday on XFM.
I know, yeah.
Why did you come on this show and not his?
Because I can't bear to watch him have his own show. And to have him constantly remind me of it.
You've been doing stuff together, haven't you?
We tour together.
Work stuff.
Yeah. We tour together and, you know, we go out. I can also do an impression of him. But obviously, that's to spend a lot of time with him. And it's basically because a lot of people think we sound the same, but actually we don't. Because actually what happens is he gets himself really worked up and then he starts squeaking at the end of a sentence.
Music. That rocks.